Chapter 4. Lord Dorwin took snuff. He also had long hair, curled intricately and, quite obviously, artificially, to which were added a pair of fluffy, blonde sideburns, which he fondled affectionately. Then, too, he spoke in over-precise statements and left out all the R's. At the moment, Hardin had no time to think of more of the reasons for the instant detestation in which he had held the noble chancellor. Oh, yes, the elegant gestures of one hand with which he accompanied his remarks and the studied condescension with which he accompanied even a simple affirmative. But, at any rate, the problem now was to locate him. He had disappeared with Perrin half an hour before. Passed clean out of sight, blast him. Hardin was quite sure that his own absence during the preliminary discussions would quite suit Perrin. But Perrin had been seen in this wing and on this floor. It was simply a matter of trying every door. Halfway down, he said, "Ah!" and stepped into the darkened room. The profile of Lord Dorwin's intricate hairdo was unmistakable against the lighted screen. Lord Dorwin looked up and said, "Ah, Hardin. You are looking for us, no doubt." He held out his snuffbox. Over-adorned, and poor workmanship at that, noted Hardin, and was politely refused, whereat he helped himself to a pinch and smiled graciously. Perrin scowled, and Hardin met that with an expression of blank indifference. The only sound to break the short silence that followed was the clicking of the lid of Lord Dorwin's snuffbox, and then he put it away and said, "A great achievement, this encyclopedia of yours, Hardin. A feat indeed to rank with the most majestic accomplishments of all time." "Most of us think so, my lord. It's an accomplishment not quite accomplished as yet, however. From the little I have seen of the efficiency of your foundation, I have no fears on that score." And he nodded to Perrin, who responded with a delighted bow. Quite a love feast, thought Hardin. "I wasn't complaining about the lack of efficiency, my lord, as much as of the definite excess of efficiency on the part of the Anacreonians, though in another and more destructive direction." "Ah, yes, Anacreon." A negligent wave of the hand. "I have just come from there. Most barbarous planet. It is thoroughly inconceivable that human beings could live here in the periphery. The lack of the most elementary requirements of a cultured gentleman, the absence of the most fundamental necessities for comfort and convenience, the utter desuetude into which they—" Hardin interrupted dryly. "The Anacreonians, unfortunately, have all the elementary requirements for warfare and all the fundamental necessities for destruction." "Quite, quite." Lord Dorwin seemed annoyed, perhaps at being stopped midway in his sentence. "But we aren't to discuss business now, you know." "Really, I'm otherwise concerned. Dr. Perrin, are you going to show me the second volume?" "Do, please."